that brings us to agenda item 6.3.4. That's me, chairman, about meetings and et cetera. So conditions, we'll start right here, conditions of membership. This is in our bylaws. In order to be eligible for voting membership on the Regional Water Planning Group, a person at the time of taking office must represent the interest for which a member is sought. There are 12 different interest groups that are represented. There is more than one member on some of those interest groups, which was done by this board to increase that participation. Be willing to participate in the regional water planning process, abide by these bylaws, and shall not have a change in status during their term. A change in status shall include, but not be limited to, a change in job title, job position, employment, occupation, or residency to the extent such change relates to the interest category the member represents. And then it goes into the process if you have a change in status in one of those things of what needs to be done. There are a few other things in different paragraphs that refer back to this paragraph. Go on to the next one, Pam. Attendance. Voting members shall make a good faith effort to attend all Regional Water Planning Group meetings and hearings. Records of attendance shall be kept by the secretary at all Regional Water Planning Group meetings and hearings and presented as part of the minutes. Voting members of the Regional Water Planning Group who have excessive absences shall be subject to removal from membership under Section 8C, which lays out the process of this article. A voting member shall be considered to have excessive absences if the member is absent more than 25% of the Regional Water Planning Group meetings and hearings in a calendar year. Representation by a designated alternate pursuant to Article 5 does excuse a member's absence. Now, that designated alternate under our bylaws has to represent the same interest and that you represent, were, and also have completed the Open Meetings Act training, et cetera, to be able to participate. And you can designate one person to be your alternate. You can't have five, according to our bylaws. There's some other things, other paragraphs that state that. So that's the conditions of membership. There are 12 interest categories. Some of those categories have more than one person represent them. We have historically as a group worked through committees. The committee has no authority except the authority which this group gives them. Everything the committee does comes back to this group. We have Do we have committees up there? Thank you. There you go. So we have an executive committee, which y'all choose. And then the others are appointed by the, except for the GMA liaisons, I appoint them, but that's the ones that come from the GMAs, are appointed by the chair. Also appoint the chair of each committee. So the scope of work, water policy, groundwater, the liaisons for the regional water planning groups, GMA liaisons, then the nominating and bylaw committee. So executive committee's responsibility is anything y'all give to it. There you go. Scope of work, we'll start there. Responsible for coordinating development of the scope of work with the technical consultant. The Water Policy Committee, they will do things, look at, just what it says, unique stream segments, reservoir sites, any policy recommendations for the legislature, etc. Nominating Bylaw Committee, we've already heard from their vice chair. They nominate officers every 2 years, the two at-large members for the Executive Committee to be then voted on by this group, and also looking at the bylaws.
Got another one.
Groundwater Committee evaluates things such as if mag peak factors, make recommendations for that if we want to pursue anything along those lines, working with the technical consultant And then we've already talked about the liaisons and what they do. I just want to reiterate again that the committees have no authority except the authority that's given to them by this group, and that they, any recommendations that they come up with, they bring back to this group to be voted on. So groundwater, scope of work, nominating bylaw committees, the executive committee, wasn't up there, but the executive committee is tasked, their main task is to review, interview, make a recommendation for any new members when there is a vacancy in an interest group. I was going to tell y'all something else, and it slipped my mind. What happens when you get older, isn't it? You wouldn't know, Gary.
I can't remember.
Yes, Art, that's right. Anything directed by the board, they can do, or they can take it away. You can ask to put, have an agenda item. We always have that on our agenda where you can, if you have something you want to put on the agenda, either call. You'd probably need to call her, and then she can relay that to me. We have our protocol has been any emails that need to be among us comes from our administrative assistant,
right,
Pam, through our administrative assistant. That way we don't get into the string of emails like Riley showed us before. That's why you don't get things from me direct. You get them from Pam or from our technical consultant, et cetera. Just trying to stay as above board and open as we can. All our meetings are open to the public. We are subject to all those things Riley just laid out and showed us. chair and vice chair are chosen every 2 years in odd number years. We will have, which is new, we've only had like 1 year, an interregional planning council member. Chair's conference calls, the chair participates in those when I'm not available. The vice chair has stepped in and participated in those. That's all that I really have, unless you have something, a question about the process, the procedure of how this is run. Good, we'll go forward.